So fun. Good morning, Woodland. Happy spring. Who loves spring? Who doesn't because you have allergies like me? Like, yeah, those trees are pretty and all, but I know, it's rough. So you'll have to excuse me if I need a couple of drinks. It's beautiful. It's all right. I'm glad the rest of you are cheering for it. That's awesome. Woodland, it is so good to be with you all. This is such a fantastic church. I just love the way that so many things are happening within this body, even in the midst of transition, that people are having their lives changed, that the Lord's kingdom is being expanded through your efforts. It's super exciting. I'm actually going to get to come and be a part of the Bloom event as well. You can pray for my allergies about that event too, by the way. But also, something outside of my real job is with the Great Lakes region and helping empower all of the churches within our network that Woodland is a part of in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois. But something I get to do on the side as kind of a volunteer is be a part of Never the Same Camp, which our students are coming to this year, okay? NTS Camp is a blast. They are going to have the time of their lives, but we get to watch immense life change happen at Never the Same Camp. And so my husband, John, and I and our kids will be there for 2 weeks helping lead this outstanding ministry. So I just want to say thank you for those of you that are helping support your students to get to Never the Same Camp. The camp truly accomplishes what the title of the camp is. People leave and they're never the same. Even as adults, adult leaders that are coming, they will also leave changed. They will never be the same as when they show up to camp. So just really excited about that opportunity. I also wanted to take just a quick moment for you to just thank and to honor your pastors and your staff of Woodland Church. You have outstanding, talented people that are leading this body and that are just giving so much day in and day out. So could we just give a hand to your pastors and thank them for everything that they do and give here at Woodland? Such good people, and really a lot of fun too, so I love that. Today we're going to talk a little bit about what it means to have faith that's unshakable. We all know that as people who are Christians or believers, we need to have faith. It's just kind of like a key ingredient to the Christian life, having faith. And you might easily say, yes, I'm a person of faith, I have faith, but what would it mean to have a faith that's unshakable? That maybe makes a shift from it's our first reaction to approach situations in faith rather than the opposite. There's often a barrier to our faith, and that's fear. Fear loves to creep in and slow us down and stop us and destroy and confuse and make faith a harder option in our hearts and in our minds. It becomes this barrier that actually the enemy really takes and convinces us that it's more appropriate and it feels better to just be in fear in certain situations than to be bold and to walk towards them in faith. I was thinking about fear and recognizing that all of us have our things that we're afraid of. My husband really, 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 really does not like flying in an airplane. My son is deathly afraid of snakes, even toy snakes. He's like, I want nothing to do with that. I used to have a really big fear of spiders, like even like hallucinating and nightmares of spiders. I've come a really long way, but like these diagnosed fears. As I was thinking of those, you know, we call them phobias, I was looking up, what are some of the interesting fears that people might wrestle with? The first one I want to tell you about is called arachibutyrophobia. You're probably like, what could that mean? It's very interesting. It's a fear of peanut butter sticking to the roof of your mouth. A fear, a diagnosed fear. Of course, that's uncomfortable. I had peanut butter this morning. I did not have that phobia. There's another interesting phobia called xanthophobia. Very strange. These are people with a fear of the color yellow. I don't know how you get through life with that, but it's a thing. Maybe my favorite on this list is Hippopotamus monstrosus cryptaleophobia. Oh, Hippopotamus monstrosus cryptaleophobia is a fear of long words. Which I definitely had when I was trying to figure out how exactly do I say that gigantic word. Now, if you have this phobia, I'm really sorry, but phobophobia is a fear of phobias, so I've just made you very uncomfortable. And most recently, we have a fear that we talk about a lot. It's called the fear of missing out, or some people call it FOMO. I'm having FOMO. I fear that I'm missing out on something. It's this phenomenon that people have kind of stepped into that's happened a lot with social media. Things are happening, and we're feeling sad and lonely, and we develop a fear of missing out. I recently had a fear of missing out. I was traveling, and my daughter was with a friend of mine, and they were making cute little TikTok dances without me, and I was having FOMO. I was missing out on something fun and exciting, and I was in a really boring meeting, to be honest. These are just for fun, but we all do have fears in our day-to-day life, whether they're big, whether they're small, whether they're something that affects us day in and day out, or just once in a blue moon. We all have fears. And what the Lord really wants us to do is make a shift from being people of fear to people with unshakable faith, where we approach these concerns and worries in our life with faith. Might sound easier said than done. Remember, during the pandemic, we were all, most of us, pretty fearful and confused. And someone kind of created these little yard signs that would say, faith over fear. And it was like a nice, comforting statement of, you know, nobody really knows exactly what's happening. It's unprecedented. And so a great, you know, phrase we should live by or could live by is faith over fear. That sounds really nice. Some people have it on a necklace or on a t-shirt. But it's actually a real thing. It's not just a cliche statement. It's really how I believe the Lord wants us to live, by living in faith rather than in fear. So what would it like really look like to live in faith, not in fear? I think it would look like people who trust in God's plan, people who trust that God will provide, even in the face of uncertainty, in the midst of difficulty, and even in danger. Faith over fear would mean that we acknowledge and face our fears, but we don't allow them to control us or consume us. And if you've ever been consumed by fear, which I think many of us probably have, it sure sounds nice to make a shift and get out of that place and live and choose the faith over the fear. I want to share today a couple of different sides of this coin, kind of like, what does it mean to have faith over fear? And then what does it mean to have fear over faith? What do those different lives kind of look like, and illuminate them with some scriptures? There's a quote by a guy named Bob Proctor. He said, fear and faith both demand that you believe in something you can't see. You know, you can't necessarily see the fear. You can't necessarily see what it's going to take to have faith. It demands that we believe in something we can't see. And then he says, so you choose. You have a choice. One might feel easier, but when they're both kind of like an invisible thing, it's what we call a choice. Fear often makes our problems seem larger than life. It causes us to send out the what-if tentacles or get stuck in a spiral, kind of like if you give a mouse a cookie, well then, he'll want this. Well, if this happens, then this will happen, and we get stuck in this cycle of consuming, all-consuming worry and fear. So first, let's talk about what it actually would look like when the fear is over the faith, when the fear is significantly greater than our faith. We're going to be reading a little bit in Numbers chapter 13. If you have your Bible, you're welcome to turn there. We're going to catch up with Moses and the Israelites. The Lord is telling Moses, send some people out to Canaan, this land that we're going to begin to occupy, and we need to see if it's safe and if we're going to be able to sustain our life there. And he kind of sends the people ahead to check it out and really discern, like, is this the right place and time and space? Are we going to be safe? And he says, and then come back and let us know. So in Numbers chapter 13, verse 27, they've come back from their mission and they've scoped the place out, and they tell Moses, we explored the land and we found it to be rich and fertile. So great land, great space, great food. They even come and say, and here is some of its fruit. But then they make a shift to a bit more of a fearful mindset. But the people who live there, They are very powerful, and their cities are very large and well fortified. And even worse, we saw the descendants of the giants there. They see some of the good and report a touch of that, but then they begin to get into this place of fear rather than faith. Verse 31, but the men who had gone with Caleb said, "Nope, we're definitely not strong enough to attack them. The people there are more powerful than we are." So they spread a false report among the Israelites about the land that they had explored. They lied and they say to Moses, "That land doesn't even produce enough food to feed the people who live there. And just a reminder, everyone we saw there was very tall." When our fear is greater than our faith, we develop a negative attitude. You've probably experienced it, or you might be thinking of somebody you know and you're like, yeah, they definitely have a negative attitude and are living their life in a fearful place. When our fear is greater than our faith, we become scared, we become fearful, our thoughts are out of control, we deceive ourselves or we deceive others, and we might even lie to make sense of the chaos. This creates a place where negative attitudes can fester and grow because we're sitting in fear rather than faith. Verse 33, they pick up and say, so we saw the giants there. They were the descendants of Anak. We felt as small as grasshoppers. And that is how we must have looked to them. At this point, because their fear is greater than their faith, they're completely underestimating their potential. Like, these might have been really tall people. Like, that's obvious. They're the descendants, they're giants, they're big. But to compare themselves, you can see they've kind of spiraled out of control. We're as small as a bug. Like, we have, our worry has taken us so far this direction. The fear has taken us down to, we literally look like a grasshopper to them. When our fear is greater than our faith, we grossly underestimate our potential. We believe the worst in ourselves. We operate out of our own power. And we just see ourselves as so weak, like a helpless little bug laying on the ground. Chapter 14, all night long, the people cried out in distress. They get this bad news. They're getting it from this group of people that are clearly operating out of fear, not out of faith. And they cry in distress. And then they begin to complain against Moses and Aaron. And they say, it would have just been better to die in Egypt or even here in the wilderness. They begin to feel sorry for themselves. They give up hope. When our fear is greater than our faith, we begin to feel sorry for ourselves. We mope, we complain, we give up. We have that poor me attitude. We're consumed by the fear. Then in verse 3, they say, so why is the Lord taking us into this land? We will be killed in the battle. Our wives and children will be captured. Wouldn't it be better to just go back to Egypt? And the fourth point is, when our fear is greater than our faith, we begin to blame God. We question him. We don't blame ourselves. We question him. We begin to think our ways are better. We would like to have control back. I think I have a better plan than maybe what the Lord has. That's the mindset of the fear being the controller and the driver, not the faith. So on the other side, what is faith? It tells us in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, what is faith? I have the definition for you. It's the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen, and it's the evidence of things we cannot yet see. Faith is confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. And it's the evidence of the things we cannot yet see. It's a willingness to enter into a place of unknown with a completely different outlook than the fear, to enter into it with faith. There's a book called Transformed by Thorns. And some of you might be thinking, that's a great title for a book. I can tell you about the thorns that have transformed my life. I know that I could share some stories like that. The author, Dr. E. Stanley Jones, talks a little bit about the difference between living in faith and living in fear. He says, I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land, faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life, and faith is the oil. Faith is the antidote to that fear. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is grasping for breath. That is not my native air. But in faith and in confidence, I breathe freely. That is my native air. And then he goes on to talk about a medical study that was done at Johns Hopkins University. And the doctor said, we do not know why it is, but worriers die sooner than non-worriers. It's a fact. He says, but I, who am of simple mind, think I know. We are inwardly constructed with nerve, tissue, brain cells, and soul for faith, not fear. The Lord created us, is this doctor's belief, to be people of faith, not to be created as people of fear. He says, God made us that way, and to live by worry is to live against reality, to live against the way that he believes that the Lord has actually created us to be. So let's compare the other side. What does it look like to live a life where our faith is genuinely greater than our fear? When our faith is greater than our fear, we begin to actually rely on the power of God and give up our own power. We really do truly like let off that control. There's a couple of stories where there are women in the Bible who kind of had to give up control. In Genesis chapter 18, there's the story of Sarah and Abraham. And if you remember, she was getting along well in age, which actually meant about 90 years old, and she had never been able to get pregnant. And in this passage of scripture, we're going to catch up with her, and she's listening into this tent where Abraham is speaking with the Lord. And this is what she overhears in Genesis chapter 18, verse 10. So Sarah's listening at the entrance of the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, like I said, pushing 90. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. I don't know if anybody in here is anywhere near 90. But you can only imagine what it might be like to be well past the age of childbearing and understand that she's hearing, maybe she's going to get pregnant. Sarah laughs to herself and thinks, After I am worn out and my Lord, meaning my husband, is old, will I now have this pleasure? So the Lord says to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? And this is the key phrase. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then he confidently says, I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Which she did. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. It happens again in Luke chapter 1. The angel comes and tells Mary she's going to have this immaculate conception. Luke chapter 1, verse 36 says, remember your relative Elizabeth. It is said that she could not have children, but she herself is now 6 months pregnant, even though she is very old. For there is nothing that God cannot do. I can only imagine the fear in both of those situations. But they chose to trust the Lord and operate in a place of trust and of faith. I've heard it said before that if your goals can be accomplished without God, it's not faith. If your goals can be accomplished without God, it's not faith. Secondly, when our faith is greater than our fear, we begin to anticipate a supernatural result. Jesus is talking with the disciples in Mark chapter 11. And he says to the disciples, you know, they're always asking questions and they're all so curious of Jesus and what he's telling them and the power that he's displaying. And, you know, how do we really begin to live this life? Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus says to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth. You can say to this mountain, mountains are really big. I know we don't have those here in Michigan, but they're huge. You could say to this mountain, this huge formation, may you be picked it up, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. He's giving them this visual of what faith really looks like. It looks like something as crazy and supernatural as a mountain being lifted and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen. Have no doubt in your heart. And I tell you, he tells the disciples, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you have received it, it will be yours. It sounds completely impossible. It sounds completely obscene to imagine a mountain being picked up off the earth and thrown into the sea. But what Jesus is illustrating is this is actually the kind of power that they have access to. And it's the kind of power that every single person in this room also has access to when we choose to live a life of true and genuine faith. When we actually expect God to be God and expect those supernatural results. I heard a pastor once say that there was a four-letter word in prayer. And I thought, well, that sounds really interesting, a four-letter word in prayer. What could it be? The four-letter word was just. Sometimes in our prayers, we'll say, you know, we have this thing that we're really hoping the Lord could do, but we dial it back a few notches because that just seems really extreme. And so instead of praying for this thing that we really, really believe, you know, would be ideal, we kind of negotiate with the Lord and don't want to overwhelm him or something. And we say, so Lord, if you could just, and we've knocked it down. We've taken our own faith down in him to kind of make it feel more realistic and a little less supernatural. When our faith is greater than our fear, and we operate in that space of expectation that he can do the things as obscene as picking up a mountain and throwing it into the sea, we begin then, thirdly, to witness blessings in our life. Jesus was performing so many miracles and had such a very busy 3 years of ministry in his life here on earth. And at one point, he's coming to heal these people who are blind. And he says in Matthew chapter 9, not because you have a need to see, but because of your faith, you will see. Not just because of God's power, not just because of their need, but because of their belief and faith, it happened. Proverbs 28:20 says, a faithful person, which is a person full of faith, will be richly blessed. Faith paves the way for blessings to flow. When we approach our life in faith, and some of you have experienced this, God really likes to show up and to show off. To see that faith in his people, he's like, oh, I love that so much. I want to make that thing happen because I saw your faith. And I'm excited to show you how much I love you and care about you and want faith to be your natural bent. When our faith is greater than our fear, we get to become the people that we were actually created to be. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 says, now God gives us many kinds of special abilities, but it's the same Holy Spirit who's the source of all of them, of all of those abilities. There are different kinds of service to God, but it's the same Lord that we are serving. There are many ways in which God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work in and through all of us who are his. When we approach our life as people of faith rather than people of fear, we really are becoming the people that he actually created us to be. And let's be honest, when there's a scary situation, when there's an overwhelming situation, when there's something that causes immense fear in us, it is, even for me, so much more natural to just hide in fear. Fear feels better sometimes. I'm just going to come over here. I'm going to keep walking away from the problem. I'm going to try to hide, and I'm just going to sit maybe in my closet with my hands over my head, and I'm just going to wallow in my fear. Because I can't imagine the strength it would take to step out of that closet and to step out of that cover and be a person of faith. But he gives us that power. He's given us access and given us the ability to step out and be the people of faith that he's created us to be. I was trying to think about one of the first times that I had really experienced like that type of cowering fear as a kid. I was really more of a daredevilish kind of little girl. I loved roller coasters. I had a fit one time because I couldn't ride this huge stand-up roller coaster, and I was like 3 or 4 years old, and so never had a fear of heights, loved to have fun. And our family was on vacation in Canada, and we had gone out to this area on this lake where there was a cliff. You could climb up and jump off of the cliff. And my cousin and I were the youngest kids on the trip. And so all the big people and all the big teenagers are jumping off, and we're like third and fourth grade little girls. And so we have our little life jackets on, and we walk up this really steep hill, and we've watched everybody else jump over the cliff. And we're like, we're gonna do it. And my cousin, she's older than me, but she was a little nervous. And I was like, no, we can do it. We can do it. Everybody did it. Everybody's safe. We have life jackets. We'll be fine. So we get up to the cliff, which by the way is so much bigger at the top than at the bottom. And we look over the edge, and though I knew I loved heights and daredevil-y things, I got scared. So here I was convincing my cousin to go, but now I'm nervous. And so we decide, you know, okay, but we're gonna do it, we're gonna do it. We said we'd do it. Everybody's yelling at us to do it. We're gonna be safe. We have our life jackets on. And she says, well, we should hold hands. I'm like, that's a great idea. Hold hands, and we look over again, you know, everybody's yelling at us. And I'm like, well, maybe we shouldn't hold hands, because actually, what if accidentally, like, one of us pulled the other one into the wall or something? That could be dangerous. We probably shouldn't hold hands. She said, okay, but you have to promise you'll jump. I said, oh, I'll jump. And I really think at that moment, I still thought I was gonna jump. And on three, I couldn't do it. And I watched her fall into the water. And to be honest, I'm over 40 years old, and I've still heard about this for years, that I didn't jump. I was paralyzed in fear. I had never at that point in my life experienced that type of fear. And I took a little walk of shame in my little life jacket back down the hill, and everybody's screaming at me, and I did not care. I was scared. It sounds funny. It's my first exposure and experience of that, like, debilitating fear. But if we're honest, sometimes we feel like that little girl in our day-to-day life. We feel like, I can't do this. I can't go on. It's too much. It's too scary. I'm paralyzed. I've got to hide. I can't rush into this. I gotta take a walk of shame and just hide and cower in fear. I have a friend named Evan. And Evan was a middle school boy several years ago. I was living in central Indiana. And something that every person in this room just hopes never happens to them or to their community or to their family was happening in Noblesville, Indiana, which is where I lived at the time. And I started getting texts and notifications that there had been an active shooting at the middle school in my town. My kids were younger, but I knew lots and lots of students inside of that school in that moment with all of the unknowns. I like could not believe it was happening. I took a picture of my TV screen, like, that thing you think will never happen is happening. Like that's Noblesville West Middle School. That's my town. And those are my friends' kids. And those are kids I teach at church, and nobody knows what's going on. I don't want to focus on what happened, but the good news is that there were several people injured, but no one lost their lives. But that's not what this story's about. The story's about a completely different classroom on that day, where my friend Evan was. Evan was actually going through one of the hardest times of his entire life personally. And he's in this huge school, and he's hearing the thing that unfortunately kids and teachers have been trained to understand and what to do in those moments. They call them intruder drills, something I had never experienced in my entire life. They hear the gunshots, and they begin to do what it is they're supposed to do in an intruder drill. Now, if you ask me, Danielle, even today and you hear gunshots in a school, what are you doing? I'm in the corner crying. I'm screaming. I'm not doing what Evan did. Evan had faith. Even in the hardest moments of his own personal life, he hears gunshots. He knows we've been trained on what to do. And I'm gonna tell you, they didn't train him to do this in the public school. He yells out to the chaotic room, "Who knows God? Who knows God? We need to pray. Who knows God?" His faith was so great. That's not natural. That's God. I don't know what you would do, even as adults, who we should say, "Who knows God? We need to pray. We need to be people of faith. We need to step up. We need to step out. We need to rescue people from darkness." But it's so much easier sometimes to just hide away, panic, and be consumed by the fear. I don't know if anybody in this room right here, right now, is in a place of panic and of fear, of anxiety. Maybe there's a situation in your own life and you're gonna be way more likely to settle into a place of fear and of hiding. And in this moment, you're like, "I wanna be more like Evan. I wanna be led by a middle school boy and be a person that's stepping out in faith." Every day, I wanna be more like Evan. I wanna get outside of my natural tendency to worry and to be consumed with fear and be bold and step out in faith. So this morning, if you're like me, I have a situation in my own life where I'm so much more prone to fear, and I wanna step out and be more bold and be a person of faith. I want you to stand up right now. You're not alone. There's places and spaces where we genuinely need the Lord to step in. Even seeing this group of people standing, doesn't it almost feel better? It gives you more boldness to be more faith-filled. That fear is a lie from the enemy. We are not made, myself included, to sit in that fear. We are made to step out in faith, to trust our God that can pick up a mountain and throw it in a sea. That's what we're made for. If you're sitting and you have a friend or a family member who you know is consumed by fear and they need to live a life of faith, would you stand up? Whether it's your kids, your neighbors, your coworkers, your grandkids, it breaks your heart. Look how many of us are affected by this, that fear comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Lord comes and gives us the faith to stand up and to step out in faith, to trust Him and trust Him with our people, trust Him with our situations, with our family, with our friends, with our communities. I want us all who are standing or sitting to be more like Evan and turn boldly in faith. There's a song by Maverick City. We're gonna sing part of it here in a second. I wanna read you these lyrics and then I wanna pray over you and then I want us to sing that song as a response, that we are going to be the people willing to step out in faith. Maverick City wrote this song, "Christ is my firm foundation. He's the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, my belief and my trust, because He has never let me down. He is faithful, full of faith. He is faithful through generations. So why would He fail now?" The two words, He won't. He won't. If you believe it, He won't. Let's pray. God, I thank You so much for Your faithfulness. Lord, those of us standing, myself included, have one, two, maybe 10 situations where we are consumed by fear. Maybe we feel paralyzed. Maybe we feel confused. Maybe we can even identify the lies or the spirals that we've gone down and have taken us so far away from reality. I pray, God, for every person that's standing for their own personal self or for the people around them that are paralyzed by fear, that are being overcome, that are losing sight of reality, God, that we would have boldness like Evan to step out in faith and to respond immediately in the hardest situations with, "Where is God?" He has the power we need. In every situation, big, small, scary, He has the power we need. So I just pray, Lord, that we would be willing to step closer and closer to You. That every day, Lord, it would just be a process of us being people willing to step out in faith, to step out in boldness, to trust You, to not trust ourselves. We already mess it up. And Lord, for those who are standing and have family and friends around them, use them in those people's lives to draw them closer to You, to inspire their faith, to empower those people, Lord, to respond to Your goodness, to respond to Your love. And Lord, I just believe as a result that all of these people standing representing their own troubles or the troubles around them, that when You come and show up and do the things that only You can do, You will get the glory and Your kingdom will expand because of our faithfulness. And so Lord, we sing this song as a prayer and as a declaration of You and of Your power and of our trust in You. We pray this in Your name, amen.